Philippians chapter 2, and our text for this morning is that first verse. Verse 1 of Philippians chapter 2, and there we read, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies." They may have been out of sight, but they most certainly were not out of mind. The Apostle Paul may have been locked up in prison, but he was thinking very much about his congregation in Philippi. They were indeed very much upon his mind. And that which was upon his mind was the unity of the church there in Philippi. Because it was evident to him that there were signs of disunity and division amongst some of the believers. This is very clear from the words of the apostle there in verse 27 of chapter 1. Paul says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Paul is saying there, you recall, that they were to be and to live as ambassadors for Christ, as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And he says that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Mark the words, stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together. Here is his appeal for unity amongst the believers in the church. And indeed in chapter 4, he actually names two women whom he appeals to that they be reconciled and live together in the church in unity. For he says in verse 2 of chapter 4, "I beseech Eudeus, and I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord." And it would only take for two people to have a difference between them, to fall out, and that would spread throughout the whole congregation. And people would then take sides. And before you know it, the church would be divided. And this is what Paul did not want. And this shows just how much this thought of disunity and division in the church was very much upon the mind of Paul. Remember, he was in prison. He had many things to concern him there. But he's not concerned so much about his own state, but about the state, the spiritual state of the church. And believer, this shows us, this teaches us, just how much division in the church can weigh heavily upon the mind of a minister. And Paul, being the minister of the church in Philippi, it weighed very much upon his mind, and it troubled him. Instead of Paul being concerned about his own state, he is more concerned about the state of religion amongst the believers, and his desire for unity there in the church. And so we see this second chapter begins with another appeal for unity. He is saying here that if this is what being a Christian is, then there ought to be unity amongst believers. Look at what he says. He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. And you'll get the connection when you read into the next verse. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. The word if there in the verse 1 may be rendered since. Since there is consolation in Christ. Since there is comfort and love. Since there is fellowship of the Spirit, Paul says, then be of the same mind. If this is what it is to be a Christian, as Paul highlights these four characteristics of a Christian, Paul says then, there ought to be unity amongst believers. If there is consolation in Christ, then there ought not to be any division amongst believers. If there is comfort in love and fellowship in the Spirit, then there ought not to be division in the church. That's Paul's appeal. That's how he's applying the word to the believers. So let us then consider these four characteristics of a Christian and make sure that they are found in us. First of all, he deals with this matter of consolation. Consolation in Christ. Once again, the apostle appeals to what they are in Christ. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ. There, he highlights their position. What was their position? They were in Christ. Here is something which is consistent with being in Christ, namely consolation. That's consistent with being in Christ. Consolation in Christ. The word consolation means comfort or exhortation. And the Christian, of course, is comforted being in Christ. For Christ indeed is our consolation. He is our comfort. How often have we proven that to be true? That Jesus Christ has come to us as our consolation and our comfort in our times of need. In Luke chapter 2, we read there, in Luke 2, about Simeon. And in verse 25 of Luke 2, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, his name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And he was told that he would see the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel was the Lord's Christ. Jesus Christ is our consolation. And it is because of our position in Jesus Christ. Christ brings consolation and comfort to all who know him. In our times of trouble, he is our comfort. Throughout the storms of life, He is our comfort. When we come to die, Jesus Christ will be our comfort. Think of that soul who, when he or she comes to die, doesn't know Christ. And they're about to pass out into the great unknown, out into the darkness, and they don't know Christ, and there is no comfort for them in death. Because they don't have Christ. And therefore they do not have any comfort. There's nothing to comfort the dying soul, the soul of the unsaved. Now, of course, the unsaved seek comfort in other things. Over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. And there in verse 24, the Lord Jesus pronounces a woe. And he says, "But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation." In other words, the rich were seeking consolation and comfort in riches, in their possessions. But the Lord Jesus said to them, "Woe unto you." And they who sought consolation and comfort in their riches, they had nothing to look forward to but the woes of God, because they did not have any comfort or consolation in Jesus Christ. And people think that if they have riches, that everything will be well. And they look to the riches to comfort them. What comfort can riches bring to a broken heart? Believer, what comfort and consolation is there in riches for the troubled soul? Some of the richest men in this world are some of the most miserable men. The riches haven't brought them any comfort or consolation at all. True comfort and consolation is to be found in Christ alone. That's our position. Then you notice the product. What is produced from being in Christ? Once again, Paul says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ." Not only being in Christ do we experience this comfort and consolation, it also produces comfort and consolation in the Christian. That is what being in Christ produces, comfort and consolation. It produces comfort at Christians, which produces unity. It's interesting to note that the word consolation in the original is parakletos. Where have you heard that Greek word before? It is the Greek word for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, or paraclete. What does it mean? It means, of course, to come alongside. And in our times of distress and sorrow and suffering, the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, comes alongside us. He comforts us in our time of loneliness. He comforts us. He comes alongside us. That's the word that we have here. Paracletus. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, we are to come alongside. We're to be a comfort to those of our fellow believers who are in trouble, who are in need. We're to come alongside and comfort them. And you can see, believer, how that can produce unity in the church, and how it guards against disunity and division. For if being in Christ, this comfort and consolation is produced in us, then we can comfort and console others. We can come alongside them and comfort them and console them in their troubles. We can demonstrate this same consoling spirit in the body of believers. And instead of there being divisions and disunity between God's people, we can demonstrate this Christ-likeness. Christ comforts us. Ought we not then to comfort others? You turn, please, to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. And there in verse 5, you look there at the words of verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation. Christ is the God of consolation. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. That ye may with one mind, see what it produces, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you can see how this spirit of consolation and comfort that is produced in us will be then demonstrated by us. We'll come alongside that distressed believer and seek to bring them comfort. And my, where you have a congregation made up of believers that demonstrate this consolation that is in Christ, then there'll be no divisions in the church. That'll be guaranteed. There'll be no sign of disunity, because the believers will be together. What do we read there again? In Romans 15, verse 5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. And if you have a Bible margin, according to Christ Jesus, may also be rendered after the example of Christ Jesus. So Christ is our example. And if there was more of a following of the example set forth by Jesus Christ, then less God's people would be divided. There'd be no divisions at all within the church body, within the congregation. So whenever a brother falls, instead of condemning him, wouldn't it be better if we came alongside him and sought to encourage him and console him and tell him there is hope in the Lord Jesus? Let us all be Christ-like. Yea, let us all be Barnabases. In Acts 4 and verse 36, we read there about Barnabas, and he's called Barnabas, the son of consolation. That was really Barnabas' ministry in the church. He was the son of consolation. Believer, we can look upon that as a ministry too within the church. Demonstrate that we feel for others, that we have a love for others, that we care about others, and we seek to console them in their time of need. In 2 Corinthians, there in chapter 1, 2 Corinthians 1 and verses 3 and 4, we read these words, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort," or the God of all consolation, "who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." See what it produces in our hearts? It produces a heart that is ready to come alongside a brother or a sister in trouble and comfort them. That was Paul's appeal. Paul was saying, if you have this spirit of consolation within your heart, then there'll be no divisions amongst you. You'll care too much for one another. But then look again. Paul continues along the same theme and vein. "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love." Here he speaks to the Christians about comfort of love. He is appealing to them, first of all, to be sensitive Christians. For the word comfort is similar to the word consolation. It has a similar meaning. Remember what we said? It refers to coming alongside. Only this time, it has to do with speech. Coming alongside someone with a word of comfort. How often has a division arisen in a church through words that have been spoken not out of love, but out of malice? How often has division occurred in a church through one brother being critical of another? How often has disunity arisen in a church through what somebody has said? James deals with that matter in his epistle. For we read in James chapter 3. In James chapter 3 and verse 2, first of all. James 3 verse 2. "For in many things we offend all." We're all offenders. "If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." In other words, James is saying, if any man can go through life without offending anyone, offending a fellow believer, James says he does well. Now, of course, when you stand for truth and righteousness, you're going to offend people. That's not what he's speaking about. He's dealing here with divisions amongst believers, things being said about or to other believers that cause offense. James says if you can go through life without causing offense of this nature, you do well. And then he goes on to speak about the tongue. My, how many times the tongue has been used to cause offense. Many times has the tongue been used by the devil to bring about division amongst God's people. Look at verse 8 of James 3. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And my, that poison can spread through a church, and everybody become affected by it. That's what Paul was wanting to guard against. That's why he said, since there is comfort in love, and if you demonstrate this comfort of love, then there will not be any divisions in the church. Colossians 4, verse 6. Listen to this. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Let your speech be always with grace. Let your speech be always with grace. It is easy to be critical of one who has fallen when coming alongside that one with a loving word of comfort would go a long way to heal the wounds. We need to be more sensitive to the needs of others. When a brother is despondent, let us show our sensitivity to his need and let us come alongside him with a word of encouragement. Word of encouragement would do well. But help that brother. A word of encouragement from the scriptures. This is what the word says. When a sister has suffered a disappointment, let us demonstrate our sensitivity to that Christian's need and come alongside with a word of comfort. That's what Paul's speaking about here. Coming alongside with a word. A word in season will go a long way to help and encourage that individual and to lift them up. Galatians 5 and verse 13. For brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. The loving Christian will be a sensitive Christian. And where there are sensitive Christians, there will not be any disunity. Where there is comfort of love, there will be sensitive Christians and there will be sympathetic Christians. We are to be sensitive to one another's needs, then to show sympathy. Show that we care. It's all right saying that you're sympathetic to a person's need and then we don't do anything about it. You turn again to James chapter 2. There in James 2, and verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, we give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? It's all right seeing a person in need and just bidding them farewell. Say, oh well, the Lord will look after you. But we don't do anything about it. We don't raise a hand to help that person. James says, what profit is it? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Being alone. You see, this is produced by faith. This is the product of faith. A caring heart, a caring spirit for those who are in need. And what did Paul say there in the verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2? Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. There was no one more sympathetic than Christ. There's no one more sympathetic to our needs and our cause than Jesus Christ. The Lord is sensitive, yes, to our need, and he's also sympathetic. He does something about it. If we have the mind of Christ, we will endeavor to say the right thing and do the right thing. And it is out of love, the love of Christ in us, that we seek to bring comfort to those in need. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. The word constraineth means controls us. The love of Christ controls us. And when you see someone in need, the controlling love of Christ will cause us to reach out and to help that person. Because it's the love of Christ within us that controls us. You know how it was in the day of Pentecost. In the day of Pentecost, the believers there enjoyed that oneness of mind and of spirit. They helped one another. In Acts 2 and verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They not only saw the needs of those other believers, but they sought to help them. They sought to do something about it. That's what it is to be a Christian. It's one of the characteristics of a Christian. And where those characteristics are manifested in us, then there are no divisions in the church. So Paul has dealt with consolation and comfort. Now he deals with communion. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, look at the words, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, if unity is to be found in a church, then here is where it is to be found, fellowship of the Spirit. Because what we have there is first of all the basis for Christian unity. If there is any one reason why there should be unity amongst God's people, then it is found here. I say that because we as believers are all united to one another to start with. We are united to one another to start with because we're united in the Spirit. We're united by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 teaches us that. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So there's the oneness there in the Spirit. And as members of one body, indwelt by the same Holy Spirit, there must be unity and like-mindedness. And if every Christian displays the fruit of the Spirit, then there will be unity in the church. This is Paul's argument. In Galatians chapter 5, we're told, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If the fruit of the Spirit was manifested in every believer, there would be no divisions amongst God's people. This is Paul's argument. If there be any fellowship of the Spirit, Paul says, then fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. We would then experience what is called the communion of the saints. We would enjoy that communion one with the other, and there be no divisions. That's the basis. And then there's the blessing. What blessings there are to be found in the church amongst believers. When we stand fast in one Spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And we know what the psalmist has said with regard to unity. In Psalm 133, didn't the psalmist say there, how good, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment, and the precious ointment there is a type of the Holy Spirit. The precious ointment upon the beard, upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. Notice the precious ointment by which Aaron was anointed, touched his head, ran down his beard, and down the garments. It never touched the flesh of Aaron. It is the flesh that causes division. It is the Spirit of God that brings about unity. Paul, when writing to the church at Corinth, as you know, had to upbraid them and rebuke them for their sin, for their fleshly behavior. And in 1 Corinthians 3, there we read in verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal? And walk as men. You don't walk as Christians at all. You walk as fleshly, carnal men. That's why you have divisions. There's envy and there's strife. And Paul used this argument with the believers at Philippi. If there's communion of this in the Spirit, then enjoy that communion. And then finally, Paul here speaks about compassion. For the apostle goes on to say, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. The apostle wanted the saints to show compassion one towards another. And that's what those words mean. In 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3 and verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? If you see somebody in need and you don't lift a hand to help them, then you needn't talk about the love of God. John says you don't have the love of God in you. You're not showing any compassion, any care for those in need. Here you have an expression of love. Isn't that how Paul expressed his love for the church at Philippi? In chapter 1 and verse 8. There he said, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. The reference there is to his love. Whenever the bride in the Song of Solomon sought her beloved, she said in the Song of Solomon 5 and verse 4, my bowels were moved for him. When Joseph saw his brother Benjamin, after many years of absence and separation, we read, and Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. He had compassion. Believer, if you and I have this compassion for our brothers and sisters in Christ in need, then there'll be no divisions. Let us take these words to heart. This is an expression of compassion. And there's also the example of compassion. And we've only to look to Christ again. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. I'm going to close now. The words from Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Let's bow and pray. Our God and our gracious Father, we pray that thou would apply thy word to our hearts. O Lord, we pray that thou would keep the unity of the Spirit in this church. We pray, Lord, that we might indeed live as those who have love and compassion and a caring spirit for one another. Lord, do that in our hearts by the workings of thy Spirit. Apply the word to our hearts. Have us to take it in. Have us to receive it. Have us, Lord, to accept it. Have us, Lord, to go over the message today at home and meditate upon what we have heard. Consider the verses of Scripture. That the Spirit of the Lord might apply the word afresh to our hearts.